Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
What good is it going to do if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? All the things that men seek out of this world, following their own ideas, that was the lie that Satan sold them. You take your life, you be your own God, and you serve your own interests, and everything's going, and you're going to find what you need. That's where your hope, that's where your future lies. And we see a world of people who are trying this and trying that, and they'll claw their way up the ladder to what they think is going to be success, and they get there and they feel just as empty as when they started. It's not here. Or they get a place of emptiness and they think the answer is that I've got to drug it. I've got to medicate it some way. I just don't want to feel this. It's too much pain. Oh, God. And here's one that came down, like I said, and that to humble himself to become human. And the people that really were drawn to him, that he seemed to reach out to the most, were the ones that society looked down on. They were the worst of the worst. You think of somebody like Zacchaeus. He was despised. Collaborated with the Roman government to collect taxes, a cheat. But something drew him, didn't it? Something in him caused him to reach out. I want to see about this guy. I've heard about him. There's something special. And Jesus reached out to him. So who was really doing the reaching? The God of the universe was reaching out to that despised man and bringing him to a place where he found hope. He found deliverance. He found forgiveness for everything that he'd ever done. He just found hope and peace and a sense of identity. This is what life is about. It's him, not... Oh, praise God. I will give you rest. Praise God. I talked about the world not there being any rest in the world. What did the prophets say? I think it was the end of Isaiah 48, if you want to look it up. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, some people react, I'm wicked. I'm not wicked. I'm a good person. Well, the reality is, depends how you compare. Yeah, not everybody goes out and just murders people. But you compare us with the purity and the holiness and the righteousness of God, there's not one of us, not one of us that hasn't fallen way short and doesn't continually have needs. Praise God. You know, we've talked many times about what happened with Isaiah early on. I mean, here's a prophet of God. God used him, and he was out there talking about all the needs of the people until one day God said, all right, it's time. Let me show him what's really going on here. And that man was caught up supernaturally. And he saw the Lord on a throne. And the purity, the power, the praise, everything that he sensed there, he said, oh my God, I'm totally out of place here. There's not one good thing in me. I'm just nothing but dirt. I'm polluting this place. This was one of the best among the folks down there. And he realized, nobody can stand in this kind of a place. Oh man, do I need a miracle? Do you need a miracle? I do. Thank God I know somebody who's pretty good at miracles, who loves. That's why he came, so that he could make us fit to live there. By the way, who was that Isaiah saw? Remember, nobody's ever seen the invisible God. They saw Jesus long before he stood before these people and uttered these words that we read this morning. This was the Lord on a throne, high, lifted up, brilliant light, blinding light, the purity and the holiness. What an amazing thing it is for him to come down. Isn't there a lesson in it for us there? Who do we think we are? That we so readily look down on people and don't care. And he looked down on people like us. And he came the way he came. And it wasn't just that he came, it was the death that he died. You know, we sing the song, I'm trying to remember exactly how it goes, but he paid a debt. Is that how it starts? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone. Thank you. I needed someone to take my sins, to wash my sins away. And he did. Thank God. Oh, what an amazing thing that this is. Now, I want to emphasize something else here that I don't know that I've ever really thought about the way I did this week. In the first place, well, all right, let's emphasize this. He talks about taking my yoke. No, I'm going to go back to the word come. The word come is not just simply, hey, you're there, come over here. It's not as simple as that. It's a command, first of all. This is an instruction. Hey, come. But it's not just come to me. This is come follow me. This is the same word that Jesus used when he called his disciples, come follow me. Come, follow me. This is not just, hey, come over here. I want to talk to you and do something for you. This is, you're over there in a bad place. You need to come over here and join me. See, that's the thing. He says, take my yoke upon you. There's a relationship that God is looking for where we are so joined to him that our life takes on an entirely different purpose. It's not about, okay, Lord, you're going to take my sins away so I can live my own life. There are actually people that effectively believe that. But this is an invitation to leave one kingdom and join another. You're part of something that's headed down the wrong road. It's making a mess out of your life. You're weary and you're burdened. You can't find any hope in that world. You are part of a kingdom that rules, that has a dominion that is described as darkness in Colossians. You need to be rescued out of that. I have the power to change that situation. But if you're going to get out of that, you're going to have to come be absolutely joined to me. And of course, human nature says, I don't want to be joined to anybody. It's my life. You're welcome to give me the benefits, but it's still my life. That's not how it works. Take my yoke upon you. Now, here's the thing that really struck me. I think back to this man that I met on the streets of Brooklyn so many years ago, and I've mentioned him before, and I was trying to talk to him about the Lord and about the devil. He says, well, I'm not serving the Lord, but I'm not serving the devil either. See, that's the darkness and deception. The truth of the matter is every human being has a yoke. Think about that. Every human being is attached and a part of something. You're a part of one kingdom or you're a part of another. Sobering thought, isn't it? There's no such thing as people just doing their own thing. That man was just following his own nature, and the devil was laughing and having a ball with it because he knew where that was all headed. That was the lie in the beginning. That's where your happiness lies. So what the Lord is not just saying, hey, you're a bunch of free people out there. I want you to come and be a slave. This is, you got the wrong yoke, folks. You're out there a part of a kingdom and you see the fruit of what it's doing in your heart. You have no peace down in here. You have no rest. You don't know who you are, or why you're here, or where you're going, or how to get there. And I want you to, I'm here to pull you out of that. But for me to pull you out, you're going to have to join me. You're going to have to walk with me. I'm the only one that can steer you through this crazy world and take and give you any kind of purpose, identity, rest down on the inside. I've got what you need, but you're going to have to join me 100%. There's a kingdom you need to leave. You need to become a part of my kingdom. I'm going to walk with you in it. And you know, the picture of a yoke is one we've talked about many times, where a farmer, in order to accomplish something, will take two animals and connect them with a wooden bar, typically, I guess, in the old days at least. And then he would attach the reins, and then they would be directed to down a certain, probably to plow, let's say. And the strength of the two animals would work together. And obviously they had to go the same way and work together. Well, the reality is, as I say, though, people of this world are yoked to the devil and don't know it. He has got a yoke on them, and no matter how it works out, they're going the wrong way and working for something that, like Jesus said, you've gained the whole world, lose your soul, what? What good is it? There's no future in this world. And that's why Jesus came, because God said, I've got a plan that goes beyond this. Every one of you has a life that's infected with sin and death. It's a power that's going to destroy everyone. That's all they have. You know, my mind went back to Jim Elliot, the famous missionary who died as a martyr back in the 1950s. And he had graduated from college, a brilliant young man with all kinds of abilities and just had a personality. He had all the goods where his fellow classmates just thought, this is the guy who's going to just excel. Whatever he does, he's going to really make a name for himself and accomplish great things. And the Lord called him to be a missionary to lost tribes down in a remote area of South America. And his friends thought, this guy is nuts. He's crazy. Why would he give up the opportunity to do all this for that? And he made a note in his diary that's been oft quoted since. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Praise God. That's what Jesus came for, so that you and I could have something that we couldn't even lose. I mean, it's just a whole different spirit, a whole different life. That's why he says you need to be born again. You know, I started to say a while ago about the weary and burdened part and about the fact that it's a good thing when God causes us to be conscious of our need.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.